presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So you guys and gals who listen or watch the show every day, you hear me converse with all of you about Georgia football, and that's always been my favorite thing in life. College football, Georgia football in particular, that's always been my thing, and that's for the most part all any of you ever hear me talk about. But beyond that, I have, for my entire life, always been a really big sports fan. I don't follow the other sports now probably as closely as I used to because as a dad with kids and a wife and responsibilities and everything else, I just don't have as much time as I used to. You devote as much of my life as I do to college football. There's not a whole lot of left to kind of devote to other things, but I am a very big sports fan. I, you know, have grown up watching all the sports my entire life and still enjoy having those conversations from time to time about things beyond just college football. And here's the one thing I can tell you. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but I think this is, for the most part, universally true. That if you look at any sport beyond just college football, whatever it is that you like, Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, whatever, look at every great team, every team that's gone on to win a championship or a string of championships. Here is the one thing I think you'll see they all have in common. Every great team, every dynasty, every whatever, they all have, in addition to superstar players, they have what can, for lack of a better phrase, be called role players who come up really big in big moments. That's just the story of sports, that championship teams are led by superstars, but in the big moments, oftentimes it's less than the superstar player who steps up in a big way and makes some big time plays. Think about the biggest shots you've seen made in NBA finals. You know, think about the Robert Ories of the world, or you know, some of the stuff that, you know, maybe Andre Iguodala has done in recent years. Think about, you know, these non superstar players who've kind of come up in big moments. Think about the 100 greatest hits in World Series history. A lot of those are going to be made by, you know, great superstar, you know, type players, but not all of them are, and a significant number are going to be made by role players. Role players contribute to championship success. And as I said, that's true for professional sports across the spectrum. I believe that's also true for college football as well. And so when you do this job where you talk college football every single day, and you talk Georgia football in particular every single day, there are some themes that emerge over the course of the offseason. And there are probably two parallel lines of thought that we have for kind of what this 2019 season for Georgia is going to look like. On the one hand, we talk about all those, you know, five-star recruits who may really blossom either in their first or second year. They may go alongside the Jake Fromms and the DeAndre Swifts and the others who are true superstar-level players at Georgia, and we get really excited about thinking about who those guys are. But there's also the other part of this, too, of who are the unsung heroes. We've talked about that as a part of our summer Q&A and in kind of casual moments around Dog Nation Daily. We've written about this for DogNation.com. This has been kind of a topic as well. And I think the unspoken context to all of this is that if Georgia's going to win a national championship, as much as the preponderance of very high four-star and five-star recruits are going to be the largest contributor to that success, and you can't get there without all those elite recruits and future NFL stars, and that's the story of the Georgias, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, whoever would be competing for there, I think there's also the understanding that you've got to have that role player contributing as well. And the good news here is that for Georgia, in addition to the names that everybody knows, the future stars, the NFL level, there's also a pretty interesting group of candidates in kind of that role player role. And I don't mean this in a negative way or kind of a slight dismissive way. Playing a role for a team as talented as Georgia is a pretty significant accomplishment right now. And some of the guys who are kind of filling those roles for Georgia are really filling them admirably. Let me give you an example of this for a moment. How about linebacker Monty Rice? Now, the linebacker core in particular for Georgia is one of those things where a guy like me who kind of gets sometimes obsessed with the big-time stars, I'll talk a lot about five-star arrival N'Kobe Dean, or the second year for a Channing Tindall, or the possibility that Quay Walker breaks out in a big way after his recruitment was so high profile. And I'll obsess over these names, and we'll predict how these guys may perform, and we'll kind of do all that kind of stuff. And Monty Rice, quiet as kept, just kind of stands right there, right next to whomever we're mentioning in this conversation, and when healthy, keeps on doing his job. Now, when healthy has been a key issue for Rice, because at the end of the last season, he was not healthy. And had he played in the SEC championship, I think things could have gone very differently for Georgia. Maybe not to the tune of a win in that game against Alabama, but certainly in terms of giving Georgia more of what it needed, solid tackling ability, There's no doubt that Monty Rice provides that. It doesn't always get noticed, but there's no doubt that Rice brings that to the table. In fact, the folks from Pro Football Focus, and y'all know from time to time I like having fun with the PFF gang, the Pro Football Focus gang, because they do approach their scouting with kind of an analytics bent. They give us numbers sometimes we don't completely understand, but the fact they're watching these games apparently as closely as they are, I think, is a pretty valuable resource for college football fans. And they recently on Twitter weighed in about Georgia linebacker Monty Rice. Now, the cool thing is this one's a lot easier to understand, and it speaks really well of Monty Rice. Here's what PFF College, the Pro Football Focus college account, recently said about the Georgia linebacker here. Monty Rice was the surest tackler in the SEC last season by only missing two tackles the entire season, and of returning SEC linebackers with a minimum of combined 50 tackles, Rice only missed 3% of his. Puts him ahead of guys like Dylan Moses from Alabama, that's a name that everybody's heard, TJ Brunson from South Carolina, that's a really good player, and on down the list you go. So only missing 3% of your tackles, only missing two on an entire season, those are numbers that are really easy to understand. And the cool thing about this is, for those of us who try to watch this stuff kind of closely, it kind of makes sense with what we already think Monty Rice is. The kind of guy that when you put him out there, you know, the color commentator on the TV broadcast may not be talking a ton about him. He may be kind of flying below the surface of some of the more famous Georgia players, but standing in the middle of the field as a linebacker and tackling would-be ball carriers is a really important job, and Rice does it really well. So when you think about Georgia's pursuit of championship success this year, it's important to also add the role players into this discussion, and Monty Rice, thus far in his Georgia career, as evidenced by the stats mentioned by Pro Football Focus, has done a very, very good job of filling a very crucial role as a surefire tackler as Georgia looks to improve its rush defense here this upcoming season. That's an important thing to remember. In fact, let me let you hear Kirby Smart in his own words about this. Going back to the beginning of last season, looking at the work that Rice had done last summer, this is almost a little less than a full year ago. Here is what Smart said about Rice then. I think it still holds true today.
Monty is a high-effort guy. Every time we scrimmage or play games or spring game, he seems to put up good numbers. He's got to do it more consistently in practice, and he's got to play with a lot better body position in practice. But Monty is as hard a worker as there is on this team. I've been so pleased with the effort he gives, and he cares about the team a lot.
So I love those descriptions. He effort, cares about the team. The other thing that Kirby Smart does not say there that I think is probably also true in terms of words that describe Rice is just sheer physicality. This guy does not mind putting his face on you, and that's an important characteristic for a linebacker to have. And there'll be a lot of dazzling athletes who get a lot of attention heading towards the summer. But when it comes to Georgia's pursuit of where it has not been, knocking off Alabama, getting past Clemson, winning a national championship, Monty Rice is going to have a big say in how far Georgia goes in that regard. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. Live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. Had a chance to catch up with those guys in the morning show this morning. I do that every Wednesday, and it was fun to be on 960 The Ref again this morning. Great to have them as a radio partner there in the Classic City. And, of course, as podcasts go, pretty much wherever you find them, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, the worldfamousdognation.com. We're just really glad you have found Dog Nation Daily here today. Let me do my part now to tell you a little bit more about Dog Nation Days of Summer coming up all summer long, but it kicks off this particular, really just more than a little bit more than a week from right now, Thursday, June 13th at Callaway Resort and Gardens. Now, yesterday, I was thrilled to be able to give you the news that in addition to myself and Jeff Centel and a lot of the gang from Dog Nation, how about the great former Georgia All-American, the guy that you heard on Dog Nation Daily yesterday, John Stinchcomb, going to be with us as a part of this great event. Y'all, Dog Nation Days of Summer is just going to be so much fun. I know many of you have already booked your room. You've kind of secured access to our VIP reception that begins that night at 5 p.m. I know others of you kind of live in that West Georgia area. You're planning on driving over and being with us there that night for the actual official event that comes up at 6 p.m. We're going to do giveaways. We've got gifts to give out to every single person who's there that night. We're going to talk a lot of football. A lot of you are going to sit down and eat dinner and enjoy the great food there at Callaway Resort and Gardens. For those of you who are staying at the resort, you should know that your room there at the lodge also includes admittance to the garden on the day you check in and the day you check out. So you can actually get there like 9 a.m. Now, you'll check into your room, obviously, later on that afternoon, but you can check in like 9 a.m. and get access to the gardens and all the cool stuff around there at Callaway Resort and Gardens. I know my whole family's coming on this one, and they are so excited because they got like the whole like water, you know, park type stuff and the lake and the pool. And my kids already have a list as long as my arm of all the stuff they're going to want to do. So this is just going to be a ton of fun. I love the summer. I love talking Georgia football. And we're really going to combine these two things into one thing when it comes to Dog Nation Days of Summer. I'm going to play golf there on that Friday. So go to dognation.com, find out more details about this. And if you want to join us for golf or kind of anything else, still some VIP room spots left too. I know we've sold a lot of those, but there's still some left. Just go to dognation.com, get on in there, find out about that. You deserve an escape this summer. You deserve a break, and this is certainly a chance for you to get that. And don't forget, it's June 13th at Callaway Resort and Gardens, but then it's also Thursday, August 1st at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. This is going to be an amazing, amazing summer, and I can't wait to start it with you next Thursday at Callaway Resort and Gardens for the inaugural part of our Dog Nation Days of Summer, the kickoff event, if you will. There on Thursday, June 13th. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's go around the doghouse here for a moment, presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia today. And as you know, Jeff Sintel's been on vacation. Now, we're doing our part to keep up with the recruiting stuff while Jeff is gone. That includes Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger today. I'll give you more details about why that's actually going to be a can't miss show later on today, despite the fact that Jeff Sintel's not going to be there. So we'll do more details on that coming up. But as part of Around the Doghouse presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia right now, I kind of want to give you some of the recruiting stuff that's kind of been floating out there as of late. And on its face, none of this is necessarily all that big. But I didn't want these details to slip past you, so let's talk about these here just for a moment. First of all, Keely Ringo, the five-star defensive back from Arizona, put out a teaser on Twitter not too long ago that his top schools were coming soon, and obviously we'll be waiting with anticipation for what that is. I know in our R.S. Andrews cooldown yesterday, which is the comment section we do after our show goes off the air, there was a lot of talk on there about the fact that online, and y'all know I like these so-called online chatter, a lot of that lately has connected Ringo back with Texas, the other school that's been thought to be intensely competing for him along with Georgia. And for the moment, I don't really know what to make of that, but it reminds me a little bit of some of the Kendall Milton stuff where we can obviously point to a lot of connections for Ringo and Georgia, his relationship with Mekhi Sherman, the number of visits that he's taken. But for a lot of these elite recruits, if you were standing not in Athens, Georgia, but in Austin, Texas, they'd be telling their own story about why they think they're in the mix for all of this here. So let's pay close attention to what Ringo says, both in terms of his finalists and kind of some of the other stuff surrounding him over the course of the next couple of weeks. But looks like we're getting close to hearing him kind of narrow some of his stuff down, even if unofficially a lot of folks seem to think it's down to the Georgia-Texas thing anyway. We'll pay attention to that. We'll see where it goes. Now, while Ringo teased his finalist, the five-star tight end of Rick Gilbert within the last 24 to 48 hours, somewhere along those lines, he has also dropped his finalist of top 10. Now, I'll show you the graphic here. 10's obviously a lot. You see Clemson. I see USC. I see Auburn, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia, of course, Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, and Penn State. They all make the cut here as part of the Rick Gilbert top 10. I think the one thing those of you who've been following this story closely and reading Jeff Sintel's reporting on this at dognation.com, if Gilbert's dropping a top 10, I don't know that the unofficial conversation really thinks that he is trying to decide amongst 10. I think the actual number for Gilbert is much smaller than that, and I think that no matter how small you whittle this down, Georgia is among those top considerations. And one of the reasons why I continue to feel confident about Georgia being much higher than one of 10 choices for Rick Gilbert is because some of the things that Gilbert himself has said and some of the work that Todd Hartley, the Georgia tight ends coach, seems to be doing towards, you know, getting Gilbert feeling good about UGA. In fact, in his own words, Rick Gilbert recently told Jeff Sintel, you know, kind of what those conversations behind the scenes have been like with the relatively new tight ends coach for Georgia, Todd Hartley. Here's what Gilbert has told Jeff about that in the past.
Coach Hartley, he really likes me, and I really like him. Obviously, his history, he brings that up a lot with David Njoku, his guys in Miami. So, yeah, that's basically what we talk about. We talk a lot now. I went down there for a visit, and we got to talk, so that was good. We just talked about how he was trying to change Georgia's offense around with the tight ends. Or not change it around, but just add tight ends into it.
So I think that's really interesting that Gilbert, who wants to play tight end at the college level, wants to be the school that's going to use them, and Todd Hartley has made a pretty strong pledge to Gilbert that tight ends will be more part of this offense here in 2019. In fact, Jeff Sintel also, when he's talked about Gilbert, this is prior to G-Day, also talked about just how much Gilbert wanted to see those tight ends be used in that Georgia Spring game. Here's a taste of Jeff Sintel on that same topic.
So one particular question I thought was very interesting is I asked him a lot. I said, Eric, how are you going to know that the Georgia offense is now an improved or an augmented tight end friendly offense when you're planning to commit during the summer, hopefully before your senior season, when you haven't really seen the product on the field from Georgia yet? Very interesting question. He hopes to maybe see some of that in practice, see some of that in meeting rooms, see some of that on G-Day. But also, if he doesn't know exactly what a clear picture of what the tight end room looks like for Georgia, might wait a couple of weeks into the season to see that on the field and see that ball maybe going into John Fitzpatrick's hands and Eli Wolf's hands and, of course, Charlie Warner's hands during the course of the 2019 campaign.
So I think it's interesting from Jeff that, you know, Gilbert wants to see that on G-Day, wants to feel comfortable about that. Well, if you watch G-Day, you saw the tight ends be heavily involved there that day, a potential nod that Todd Hartley is going to be a man of his word when it comes to that tight end position. Now, speaking of tight ends, by the way, another tight end, Jalen Conyers, a pretty highly ranked guy, also dropped his top three, included Georgia in that. Conyers said, after a lot of thinking and a lot of prayer, these are my top three schools I'll be deciding between. Conyers is one of those guys that seems like a pretty impressive athlete and a guy that, at least the best I can tell, is kind of rising up the ranks in terms of his interest in the big-time schools. He has visited Georgia as of late. As of right now, though, I get the impression that Georgia's focused more on the guys that we've heard Jeff Sintel covering, the Theo Johnsons, the potentially Darnell Washingtons, obviously a Rick Gilbert, so kind of a lot of chatter when it comes to that. There's one more recruiting thing, but I'm running a little late here. I'm going to get to this in a little bit later on. Paris Johnson has said something about Kendall Milton. I have no idea what this means. I'm going to try to let you help me see if we can decipher this coming up a little later on as we try to cover the recruiting beat here and some of the little things that are out there right now. It's Around the Doghouse right now. It's presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And listen, a lot of times when it comes to your house, there's some serious things you may notice, like a cracked foundation or a kind of wet, damp spot in the crawl space. Any kind of moisture down there is potentially something you want to be very, very careful of. You want to trust experts to get that fixed. I'm talking about someone that has a full-time engineer on staff, like my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. They're the ones you want to trust if you're dealing with any kind of issue and involves the structural integrity of your home. So simply give them a call, 678-ESOG-NOW. 678-ESOG-NOW. It's Around the Doghouse, presented by Engineered Solutions of George. All right, later on we'll do more of the recruiting stuff. I'll tell you why Before the Hedge is going to be really, really fun today. But for now, it's a Wednesday. That means it's time to talk to our good buddy. Let's do Mike Griffith here on Dog Nation Daily.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Boy, I tell you what, going back to last week and Destin, Florida at SEC spring meetings, Mike Griffith, very interesting coverage, very interesting things coming out of that. It's always kind of a moment when you can get some kind of relaxed commentary from some of the coaches and big names around the SEC, and it was good that Mike was there. It was good that he was providing that coverage on Dog Nation Daily, and it's great to have him as a part of our program right now. Mike, welcome back to the show. Hope you're doing well.
Appreciate it, BA. Thank you.
So let me start with this. You were kind of at the epicenter of this past week of what has been kind of an interesting story this offseason, the Georgia-Florida stuff, and there's a lot I want to get into with you about this, and let me start with this in particular. The one thing that our audience talked about a good bit yesterday was the particular quote from Paul Feinbaum, who revealed closed-door, I don't want to say secret meeting, that's probably taking it too far, but certainly not a public forum. Those two in Dan Mullen's office, Mullen seemingly had Georgia on his mind, talking about the national championships that Mullen had won, and that Florida had won, and the lack of national championships regarding Georgia. Were you surprised that Feinbaum told that story, and is that your impression of what Dan Mullen really is like behind closed doors, constantly pointing back to things that happened 11 years ago in the past?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, B.A. I was surprised, you know, because I just kind of cornered Paul, like you said, that those spring meetings, you have an opportunity to get some of the coaches and analysts on the side, and I just pulled Paul aside and I said, look, man, I know you do your show and all that, but I really want to know what you think of this Georgia-Florida rivalry, and You know, because we see things from our scope, right? We see things from our perspective at Dog Nation and on the Georgia beat and among the Georgia fans. How does it look from 10,000 feet for Paul, who does this SEC-wide show on the SEC Network every day? Or is it just our imagination? Well, no, it's not our imagination. And Paul did have some very interesting things to say, saying it was the hottest rivalry in the SEC right now. And then he shared that story as a for instance, which, to your point, I was very surprised that he would divulge what happened in a private meeting and Dan Mullen pointing to three national championship trophies and making some reference to Georgia. It's been a while since Georgia had one. And Paul kind of used that as a for instance. And apparently that was the start of Dan launching in on Georgia. Now, when I talked to Dan individually in a hallway, you know, he said, "Oh no, people read too much into what I say," and he denied the spring game attendance that he had anything to do with that troll job as it related to the number of games and days since Georgia's 1980 national championship. Completely denied it. So, and then I took it one step further, BA, and I didn't report this, but I talked to one of the Georgia beat writers. I got a lot of respect for in Orlando, and he said, "You know, Mike, listen," he said, "Dan is straight with us on the beat. And if he says he didn't do that spring game number, I believe him because I think if he did it, he would have owned it." He said, "Now, that's not to say somebody on the staff." So my thinking is, Dan behind closed doors obviously has an issue with Georgia, and that Florida in general, not just their fans, but their administrators, somebody put that number down. Somebody did put that thought into it. And if it wasn't Mullen, it was somebody on a support staff. And ultimately, it just tells you what the temperament of Florida fans towards Georgia is right now.
So a couple things about that. Clearly, Mullen last week told you that people have a tendency to read too much into the things that he says. The only problem with that, though, is, and I played these two audio clips side by side, what Mullen told you last week and what Mullen himself had said about the spring game thing of, there is a very good chance that Mullen is not the architect of the 39,000 number. But Mike, he told people prior to that spring game, and then after that spring game, he invited them to look deep and try to decipher meaning in that. So one way or another, whether he was the architect of the 39,000 number or not, he invited people to do what ultimately they did do, which is look into this and try to find some meaning. So for my own personal sake, and I'm obviously not an objective bystander when it comes to this, but for my own personal sake, for Mullen now to say, "Oh, people read too much into what I said," that's exactly what Mullen invited people to do. So for him to try to play dumb on that now that he's gotten some negative criticism from it, I think that just comes across as disingenuous and frankly kind of phony.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways. You can't be trying to do these troll job things and jack your own fan base up, but then tell the other fan base, "Oh, no, that's not what I'm trying to do." You know, look, Kirby Smart gets this. Kirby is not going to be outgained. They're not going to get in his head. Look, Alabama's not in his head, and they've won the game on the field. Florida certainly isn't in his head the way that Georgia's dominated these last two games. So Mullen can play his games. He does want to create some excitement at Florida. I think we all know that there was a time when the Gators won six SEC titles under Steve Spurrier from 91 to 2000, and they were a fantastic program. I mean, there was no denying the fun and gun and Steve Spurrier were unique to college football. In fact, to me, it's kind of fascinating that they didn't win more than one national championship. I'll never forget the way they got their tails handed to them by Nebraska in the national championship game one year. It was 62-37 or some ridiculous number like that. So, but that's like Feinbaum was saying. Getting back to what Paul was saying, Florida thinks they're back. They want to believe they're back. They want to get that swagger back that the Gators have always had. And there's a part of the SEC that kind of wants to say, that's kind of fun, right? They're kind of like the Dallas Cowboys, right? Remember when the Dallas Cowboys had swag and they were winning? It's been a long time. But the Cowboys fans really don't seem to notice that. They still try and walk around like they're winning Super Bowls. I would equate Florida to that right now. And Dan Mullen's trying to create some excitement, and he doesn't have the results to back it up. And then, like Paul said, Georgia fans are kind of swatting at them like a fly at a picnic. You know, like, who are you? Go away. You're not as close to us as you think. So that's the dynamic going on right now. That's what Paul sees. And I think, BA, I think that's what you've captured on Dog Nation Daily many times.
Well, I think your comparison to, like, the Dallas Cowboys mystique is probably a little bit similar on this in terms of how long it's been since those true glory days. And I guess to try to make a serious point on this and objective as I possibly can, as I said on yesterday's show, I'm 42 years old, so I absolutely remember the national championships that Florida has won. And if a Gators fan wants to kind of, like, rib me or kind of bust my chops over that, that zinger kind of works on me because I'm old enough to have lived through all of this, and the history of college football is something I pay close attention to. And so I think Florida fans think they're getting over on Georgia fans this offseason by pointing a lot of that kind of stuff out, including what Mullen did behind closed doors with Feinbaum. However, Mike, as you very well know, if you're an 18-year-old kid right now or a 17-year-old kid getting ready to make your college choice, there is not a great deal of difference between 2008, Florida's last national championship, and 1980, which was Georgia's most recent national championship, because both those things happened before you were paying attention to college football, and those are just the facts. So this is one of those moments in which I think that Dan Mullen is scoring some cheap points with his fans, and Florida people in general, you know, some of the grifter media around that program and things like that, are scoring some cheap points with their fans, but they're not necessarily making any kind of headway with recruits. That's why Warren Brinson's coming back to Georgia. That's why Jalen Carter chose Georgia over Florida. That's why Carson Beck mockingly, at least seemingly, flirted with Florida interest, and so in his own words, he could get the offer that he actually wanted from the University of Georgia. Florida's, you know, insistence on reminding folks about the past doesn't work for people who weren't alive to remember that past.
No, and the bigger picture is this, and I'll speak to this as you know, someone that's, you know, covered other programs on the outside. Georgia's a better brand. It's just a better brand. It's a better quality brand. They haven't had the recall, so to speak. I mean, there's no Aaron Hernandez in Georgia football to point to. There's, you know, this case of this quarterback. Look, Georgia had their issues this spring, BA. Every program is going to have their issues on occasion. But if you want to compare the issues that Georgia's had under Kirby Smart to what's already happened under Dan Mullen and what happened under Urban Meyer, I mean, we're talking apples and oranges here. Georgia is a classier. Athens to Gainesville, you want to compare those towns? I said it yesterday. Athens is the Epcot of college football towns. I mean, it's got something for everybody. The shops, the restaurants, the people, just the history. It's just a beautiful town like no other in the country. And it's like Epcot at Disney, only it's college town world, right? And Gainesville, I don't know. If you want to go to a late night, what do they call those, rages or whatever, it's neon and people dancing at 3 in the morning. They got a lot of that and good times there and all sorts of parties and music and things like that. They're apples and oranges, though. If you want to compare the class and the brand, Georgia is head and shoulders. And you know what? The parents see that. You know, let's just reflect on one thing here. Now, I talked with Terrence Mathis a couple days ago, and by the way, I think he's going to be getting out of the hospital today. I'm going to check in with him a little bit later.
You mean Terrence Mathis is getting out of the hospital?
Yes, Terrence Mathis. Yes. Duane has been out of the hospital, yes. But the father has also been in the hospital during this horrible event of Duane having the brain surgery to get the fluid removed. But you look at how Georgia handled this, and it wasn't meant to be. Kirby didn't want this. Kirby didn't put this story out. Georgia didn't put this story out. They didn't say, look at us. You know, Terrence Mathis took the time to say, I want people in Dog Nation to know this. But you look at the way Georgia handled this. Not only was Ron Corson, we all should have known, and we were long overdue to do a story on this world-class trainer that they're fortunate to have, who's worked in the Olympics, who's written books on how to handle these things. But you've got a world-class doctor. You had a world-class hospital, Piedmont Hospital, one of the top 1,000 hospitals in the world, one of only 7 Georgia hospitals, ranked in the top 100 in the country. You got the world-class trainer. You got the world-class hospital. And then you got the world-class head coach who takes care of this issue firsthand. You got Coley spending time at the hospital. I mean, it was just a complete case of, do you want your kid to go there at a place like Georgia where when adversity strikes, this is how it's handled? Or you want to send them down to Florida, where guys are transferring left and right for good gosh only knows what. You look at the cases and the police. You see where I'm going with it,
sure,
right?
Sure. Let me change the subject and talk about something different for a moment. The other thing that comes out of SEC spring meetings last week is the new SEC alcohol policy and the fact that Georgia mm-hmm. is going to still keep it kind of slow with this. And The way this was rolled out by Georgia, I thought was a little bit of an unforced error, because for the people at the kind of the lower end of the McGill Society donor range, that's a lot of money, and yet I think some of them probably are left to feel like paupers when this new alcohol stuff is going to be reserved for the people who've given in the upwards of six-figure range to kind of be a part of that. I think it's kind of weird. I know that this is a divisive issue. Some people want beer available all over the place. Some people don't want alcohol in the stadium at all. I respect both sides of that debate. I think Georgia's attempt to split the difference on this satisfies no one, which I guess Tyrion Lannister makes a good compromise. But, you know, no matter how you want to get to this one way or another, what did you make of all of this?
Well, it wasn't a majority vote. I mean, the vote that was there was, do they want to give the schools autonomy to set their own alcohol guidelines? Now, BA, there's still, the SEC is going to be the only one of these five power conferences to have guidelines that go along with alcohol sales. So they voted yes, give the schools autonomy. However, the SEC has some strict guidelines that are going to go along with alcohol sales. Dog Nation reported that Friday from Destin. I think we were the only ones to do that. We had the entire press conference with Greg Sankey online. If you want to dive deep into this, you'll have a chance to hear Greg Sankey answer a lot of questions, and we also have the entire policy outlined so that if you do go to an opposing stadium that serves alcohol, you'll know the rules and contingencies that go with it. As far as where Georgia stands on this, I talked with President Moorhead last week, the day before the vote, and he said, you know, we think we do it right at Georgia. And I would agree with that, okay? I think the Georgia game day environment, I don't think there's any that are any better. I think there's a lot of great environments. I think Georgia's just as good as any. I think there's some environments that aren't as good. Now, how much does alcohol have to do with that? How much do the ushers and the enforcement have to do with it? It's hard for me to know without, you know, doing a study. But I go back to the Georgia class. I go back to just the environment here in Athens, Georgia, the way the Georgia fans carry themselves, what that game means in the society. And that's where the alcohol policy gets complicated, because on the one hand, you know, Moorhead and the Garrity, they want to do as much as they can as far as the fan amenities are concerned. They want to have, you know, clean bathrooms and shorter lines and more concession stands and a bigger jumbotron and a better fan experience and better Wi-Fi and a better traffic pattern. They want to do all that, right, because they want a great fan experience. If you add alcohol sales in the general seating, the question is, do you risk taking something away? And you might say it's only 1%, but 1% of 90,000 is 900 people. So if you sprinkle 900 people, the 1% that could abuse this around the stadium, does it affect your daughter? Does it affect your friend? Does it affect your mother? And that's where Georgia wants to be very careful. So they left there saying they're going to review their policy, but I, like you, am leaning towards thinking that they're going to keep alcohol out of the general seating and limit it to the skyboxes in the suites, and now this room on the club level over Gate 6 that overlooks East Campus Drive that'll be limited to 400 people who donate at least $100,000 and will not be guaranteed the right to buy tickets unless they donate $250,000.
Mike, it's really good stuff. And, of course, that $250,000 number kind of gets people close to the tax bracket in which you're living in. So that must be a nice neighborhood to be living in. We appreciate your time here on Dog Nation Daily. Great coverage in Destin last week. I know you got some great stuff planned coming up in the days ahead of DogNation.com, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again here very soon.
Appreciate it, Ian. Thank you, man.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
That may have been Mike's best performance ever. Got the fight song playing. I mean, you'll talk about a happy group of Dog Nation folks. The fight song playing upon Mike's finish there. He must have scored a touchdown on that. That's pretty funny. I'm sure we'll. That's pretty good. I like that. I like that at all. I very much like that. So when it comes to like the alcohol stuff, before getting the SEC through, and I promise I won't spend too much time on this, but I guess my opinion on this is kind of evolving a little bit. You know, it's like a lot of things, whether it be Georgia, Florida, and Jacksonville, or black jerseys, or anything that impacts fans. I'm sort of for whatever 51% of Georgia fans are for. Because, you know, I work on Saturdays, right? I'm in the press box. I'm on video. So beer at the concession stands or not, it really doesn't impact me at this stage of my life all that much anymore. I'm kind of just sort of agnostic to this. I would want what the majority of people would want. I do think that the people who don't want alcohol in the stadium are more vocal than the people that do. So therefore, their numbers seem large because they feel more intensely about the subject, I believe, than the other side does. That may be worth paying attention to. I also heard from some people on Twitter this week who said, I kind of flippantly, casually the other day, talked about how, in my mind, most of the people who have, you know, show up in Sanford Stadium are already fairly well served to begin with. And some people said to me that that's not really the experience they have in the stadium, that they don't think the stadium is quite as drunk as I described it as on Monday's show. And I guess I respect that, too. Here's the thing that kind of came to mind to me on this, and I know now I've probably gone longer on this than I intended to. It would seem weird in 2019 to open a stadium for sporting venue and not serve beer, because in professional sports and things like that, that's a big part of the experience. You go to a baseball game, you get a beer, and you know that's just kind of what people do. College football is really different than that. And if you started over from scratch in 2019, that's not the way you would design these stadiums to work. It's just not, because people are just have expectations about the other part of this. But isn't it a little bit like no cell phones at the Masters for those of you who've been to Augusta National? It'd be unheard of today to start a sporting event in a sporting venue and say you can't bring in your cell phone and expect anyone to come because people are so attached to their cell phone devices. But the Masters has enough cachet, they can get away with that. And I think for the most part, people will tell you that while they are on the grounds, they actually kind of enjoy having to be unplugged and having the opportunity to just focus on what's going on in front of them. I guess my thing about the beer in Sanford Stadium is, Sanford Stadium has very, very narrow seating areas, right? These are not chairback seats anywhere else but the 200 level. These are aluminum bleachers, and they're very close to each other. Can you imagine the hassle when every 2 minutes someone's going to be getting up and trying to go from the middle of the aisle to the steps to get up and go buy a beer, and this happens over and over and over again? Most professional sports venues, that's not very intrusive. In a college football venue, it's kind of a little more intrusive because of the way these things are designed, very old stadiums. And I think for a lot of people, kind of not doing that has been kind of okay. So honestly, I don't even really know. This is something that fans themselves ought to decide. In this particular instance, I'm more of a member of the working media. I probably don't have as much of a say on this. I would be for whatever the majority of Georgia fans are for, and I'm curious to see in the months ahead how folks weigh in on all of this. By the way, let me tell you about my friends at Kroger here really quickly for a moment. You know, Father's Day is right around the corner, and when it comes to Kroger, they've got just what you need for that gift for Dad. Whether it be gift cards, those always make a good gift because I know dads are hard to buy for. Barbecue's essentials, I'm talking about stuff to make your cookout go better, a whole lot more. You can stop by and shop all in one place right there at your local Atlanta Kroger. I hope you'll check that out. All right, for our SEC through today, here's what I wanted to talk about. ESPN had a kind of interesting thing, and y'all know I like this. Connor wrote about this at DogNation.com. The game to be aware of for each top 25 college football team. Now, for Georgia, who is ranked number 3 in the ESPN preseason poll right now, the game they say to be aware of is the one against Tennessee. What the writer Alex Scarborough says is the Bulldogs might be feeling pretty good about themselves heading into an October 5th trip to Tennessee. Assuming they handle their business against Vanderbilt, Murray State, Arkansas State, and assuming they win a tough non-conference game against Notre Dame. That's really the Notre Dame game that matters the most there. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, that bye week in between Notre Dame, we did this on video, in between Notre Dame and Tennessee might end up being a really, really valuable commodity. But obviously ESPN's paying close attention to the fact that Georgia has not always been its best under Kirby Smart in hostile road environments. Maybe Tennessee ends up being that. Neyland Stadium rocking and rolling that day. So Tennessee kind of touts, I should say ESPN kind of touts Tennessee as a game to be aware of when it comes to the Dogs. I'm going to give you a chance to weigh in on that in just a moment. Some of the other SEC games mentioned here. Alabama is told to be aware of going to South Carolina. Listen, I'd love nothing more than to see South Carolina beat Alabama or even keep that game close on September 14th. I think that's probably wishful thinking. I think that's probably reflecting back to the Steve Spurrier era when South Carolina did knock off Alabama. My guess is there's probably not a ton to be worried about if you're Alabama even on the road there. Florida at Kentucky is mentioned here on September the 14th. Now, Florida just had a long winning streak versus Kentucky, snapped a year ago. Could this be the Wildcats' turn to start its winning streak against Florida? That would certainly make me happy. September 7th is mentioned mentioned, for LSU at Texas. That's a big game for both these programs. Texas wants to show that the Sugar Bowl thing that happened against Georgia last year is the sign of things to come for the future season. For those of us who've been around the block a few times, we know that bowl wins don't usually predict much success in the upcoming season. That's not typically the way that college football works. This game, though, for LSU, who wants to think of itself as a real legitimate contender alongside Alabama in the SEC West, proving that against a program like Texas, certainly gives you a chance to do that. It's a pretty interesting piece at ESPN.com. It's kind of a fun thing to think about. And, you know, for me, when I think about dangerous road games for Georgia, I think a lot more about a trip to Auburn than I think about a trip to Tennessee. After all, the folks in Vegas have weighed in to say it's a much more narrow point spread for the Dogs there against Auburn. They're about a touchdown or so favorite in Jordan here in November, a much bigger favorite at Tennessee. So I think this is probably an example of ESPN trying to kind of spread its coverage around a little bit and get a few more teams involved there. But nonetheless, I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about this in the future. For now, we'll make that your SEC through. And before we do our summer Q&A, which kind of involves that topic we just mentioned, let me also remind you about my friends at Online Trading Academy. You know, I think the best decision you can make is the decision to invest in yourself. Let's face it. We all look to a future. We hope we have more money than we have right now. But that's not going to magically appear. You're going to have to do some work to get that done. And the work that you do on behalf of yourself sometimes is the most valuable work of all. That means learning how to make money in the markets. I'm talking about a variety of trading styles and a spectrum of asset classes. Online Trading Academy gives you a chance to learn that both in the classroom and online. So check them out by going to this website. I'm going to try to say this slow so everybody can hear it. It's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's trading with a D. Tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. It's online trading academy. You can get some real expertise, learn how to make some money in the markets there with Online Trading Academy. All right, here is our summer Q&A for today. And as a way of setting this up, let me do two things. I just talked to you about the fact that ESPN kind of sees a little bit of a trap game for Georgia against Tennessee. But also one more thing I want to show you. Paris Johnson Jr. on Twitter, or I should say Instagram, recently had a comment to five-star running back Kendall Milton. Now, can't really see the caption from Milton here on this, but what he, I should say from Johnson on this, but basically he says something in the effect of the circle's growing smaller, and the language that Johnson uses is very, very cryptic. If you gave me 6 months to research, $1,000 prize for getting it right, I would have no idea what Johnson means in his message to Kendall Milton. But it does come on the heels of Milton being on the Ohio State campus. Now, in this particular picture, for those of you not watching on video, both these guys are wearing Georgia gear. Milton's response back to Johnson was basically equally as cryptic when it comes to what all of this is. So I don't know what to make of that from Paris Johnson to Kendall Milton. That was a little weird for me. A little bit interesting to see them both in UGA gear there. That may have been the only picture they had together. I'm not quite sure what that means, but there is a lot of talk about Milton coming off his Ohio State visit. And one way or another, Paris Johnson had something to say, and it's difficult for me to know if it's good or if it's bad. I'll try to read this for you coming up in just a moment. So it's part of our summer Q&A today as well. So if you're listening radio podcast, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. If you're watching on video, we'll take some of your comments here live in just a moment. Here's our summer Q&A for today. First of all, do you think that Georgia has a, quote, trap game this year? That's not the word that ESPN quite used, but that's kind of the point they're trying to get to for these top teams. Is there a trap game out there? And I'd be curious to see what Georgia fans think about that, both our listening audience on podcast or radio, our video audience watching right now. You can get a chance to do that. And Kendall Milton, who was in the Ohio State campus, we talked to Jeremy Birmingham about this last week. Any concerns for Milton kind of coming off of that visit? And I guess you could probably also kind of tie this into some of the stuff we've heard recently about Ringo in Texas. Some of these other pursuers for these guys that Georgia's been thought to be heavily in the mix for, you can weigh in on that. And finally, how good do you think Georgia basketball is going to be this season with Anthony Edwards? There's a specific reason why I'm going to ask you that question today. And as we get ready to wrap up the show, I'll tell you about that right now. Because today is a Wednesday. That means Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger. Now, Justin Tell is still on vacation. Jeff is still across the pond right now enjoying himself, and he'll be back again very soon, but we're still going to do Before the Hedges. And today on our program, we're going to do something really, really special. We had a chance last week to catch up with the incoming five-star to Georgia, Anthony Edwards. I thought this conversation for me was really interesting because, you know, I saw a real competitive edge from Edwards in the discussion that we had. And I think this is a guy that, you know, as all these other guys on the football side of things have shown up at Georgia, I think Edwards himself also shows up now ready to compete and work hard. And so that's going to be a part of Before the Hedges here today. And you can weigh in on Edwards in the comment section here today as well. That's a part of our summer Q&A. We'll look forward to doing that with you. I'll also tell you 949 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators beat the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.